Empower Radio presents The Farkas Files, an exploration of energy, metaphysics, and the paranormal with David Franklin Farkas. The Farkas Files. The truth is in here, somewhere. Here's your host, David Franklin Farkas.
Good evening. Thanks for spending your time with us again. Thank you, one and all, for bringing your energy to this call. And just taking the time out of your life to hang out with me and my guests and enjoy this. My guest tonight is an old friend of mine and of the show, Claudia McNeely, and we're going to be talking about her new ebook, but first tonight's Metaphysical Musing, which is about, in a way, what is reality, which is what the whole show is about. But one of the things about life in this strange electronic era is that you can have friends for a really, 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 really long time, like Claudia, and never actually meet them, as my daughter would say, IRL, in real life. And this week, I got to do that with two old friends that I had never met. And both of them have been guests on the show, so I thought it would be fun to tell the story. One of them is Bishop Christina Rake, who was on the show just last week. And she's been on the show several times. We've become good friends. We help each other in doing some of the work that we each do, and tell each other and support each other in what's going on in our lives. And part of what's going on in her life is that she's been working on her master's degree in theology, doing the research, writing the paper for a very long time. And she finished. So she is tomorrow going to get her piece of paper, get her degree, and go through the ceremony and the funny costume and all that stuff. And that meant she was in Boston, which is only 2 hours from me. So yesterday, I drove 2 hours to historic Lexington, where the first battle of the Revolutionary War was fought, and we had lunch together. And, you know, it's like literally like meeting an old friend. We already knew each other, but we had never actually sat across the table, had lunch, given each other a hug, and said, oh, look at that. That's you. It was very special. It was very, very special. And since I was going to be right there in Lexington, which is very near Concord, another historic town in Massachusetts, and I have a friend that I've known for, we couldn't figure out how long, 5 years, 8 years, online, Jiffy Reed, is one of my Facebook friends now, but we met even before we met on Facebook. And she is an equestrian. She works with horses, and she teaches people about horses. And she used to be an internationally rated horse jumper and competitor at a very high level. And I went over to her little horse farm, and we had a cup of coffee, and she introduced me to her horses. And again, it was like, oh, I know you. I've known you for a long time. And this is a little bit like the story I told last week or the week before about my friend Tom, where everybody said we had to meet each other. And when he walked in the room, what he said was, oh, it's you. Just recognized me. We had never met in this lifetime, but he knew me. And I recognized him as well. It's not exactly like that, but these are people that have become part of my life, that have become part of my both personal and professional life, and that I appreciate and enjoy the company of almost every day online. And then something changes when you meet in real life. And what a strange world it has become, where we can be so wonderfully connected to so many people all over the world and never meet them and still have them be part of our lives. But every once in a while, you get to meet them as well. So just honoring and enjoying the fact that this is so strange and really quite wonderful. So that's today's Metaphysical Musing. And let me introduce one of my good friends that I haven't met yet, Claudia McNeely. How you doing tonight?
Hi, David. I'm surviving. It's been an interesting few days.
I'm sorry.
Well, the solar flares.
Yes.
You know, we had four X-class flares in less than 48 hours.
Right, right. Yeah, it's been a very intense week. I came home from...
Oh, yeah.
I came home yesterday from driving 2 hours out and 2 hours back, which usually would be a little bit tiring, but not a big deal. And sat down, I thought, for 2 minutes and woke up an hour and a half later.
Yes.
And then
I do that all the time.
And then had some dinner and sat down with my dessert to watch some TV and woke up when I almost dropped it, half melted.
Yep.
You know, like, oh, well, I didn't drop it. Good.
yep.
So I wasn't paying attention to the solar flares, but they were certainly zapping me.
They were rough. Yeah. It's the biggest flares that we've had all year.
Wow.
And each one was bigger than the one before. Oh, yeah. It was fun. So anybody knows you've been having headaches, back pain, feeling dizzy, I can't see, the eye vision problems,
right.
Ears, all that is from the X-class flares.
Yeah, I've been having the eye stuff for a couple of months.
Mm-hmm.
Part of it probably is that the tree pollen here is totally crazy, and it will be for a few more weeks. But it was way past that. For those that need a little introduction to what in the world we're talking about, if you've listened to the show before, we've had these conversations many times. The things that are not obvious in the physical world, even though they are physical. I mean, solar flares are physical phenomena, but that affect people's both emotions and physical bodies in very mm-hmm. dramatic ways. And people just go, I don't know what's going on with me. And why do I feel this way? And I must be sick, and, you know, come up with all kinds of explanations because they don't have someone like Claudia McNeely who tracks all this stuff.
Right.
And keeps... has a wonderful list on Facebook and on your website, and I don't know how many other places you have it up, where you list all the things that are going on and all the symptoms that people are reporting to you that they're having.
And I have people tell me all the time, oh, I'm so glad I found this because I thought there was something wrong with me, and
right.
I found out that there isn't. So it's really nice to know it's not just us.
At least it's not just us, right?
Exactly.
You know, I know you laugh all the time, because what I usually write back to you is, oh, good, I've got all of it. I feel so much better now.
I know. I know. There's been lots of times that I've almost gone to the hospital and then, you know, gone and looked, and I said, okay, it's a solar flare. I'll wait till this passes and see if it clears up, and it always does.
Right. And, you know, we've had solar flares in the middle of a full moon cycle with an eclipse and
mm-hmm.
assorted other things that most people just don't think are paying attention to.
Right.
And, you know, people have sort of have
affects everybody else and or everything else. Yeah.
Well, it's, you know, people who work in emergency rooms and on ambulances and do police mm-hmm. work, especially the mm-hmm. night shift, all know that the night of the full moon, whether it's actively wacko stuff or it's just that there's more activity than usual, more accidents, more more of everything. The
and
full
when
moon,
solar flares, when there's solar flares, more people go in with heart issues.
Right, right. Because your body is not feeling right in strange ways. And
well, it causes heart palpitations and chest pain.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it drives the doctors crazy because they can't figure it out, or they do something that makes perfect sense in the medical model that is unnecessary because tomorrow it won't feel that way.
Right, exactly. So many people end up on medication that they don't need.
Right, right.
Yeah.
You know, appropriate medical intervention for, as they say, what's being presented.
Right.
The symptoms that are being presented and trying to come up with a solution to what's in front of you.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And there's a saying in medicine, if you hear hoofbeats, think of a pony, don't think of a zebra. And this stuff is definitely a zebra. They have no way of adding to the conversation. Oh, you know, maybe we should look at this tomorrow because you seem to be okay and there was a big solar flare.
You know, right, exactly. One day maybe we'll actually get to that.
Right. And there are parts of the world where they probably are close to that. I know in
I hope so.
In China, there are hospitals where Western-trained doctors, Eastern-trained doctors who are acupuncturists and herbalists, Qigong masters doing energy work, and a number of other kinds of practitioners are all on the team together. And the supervising physician looking at the case uses all of those skills as they're appropriate. So if you need a Western intervention because it's a crisis, you need something that'll handle it instantaneously right now, which is what Western medicine is good for. You know, if you break something or you're having a heart attack right this minute, it's really good to have that technology.
Exactly.
But chronic stuff or things that don't fit the mold, that there really isn't a good way of looking at and explaining that stuff. And Chinese medicine has many good ways of looking at it and dealing with it. So they use all of it. And my guess is that there are other parts of the world where that's done too. I wouldn't be surprised if there was some of that going on in India with Ayurvedic medicine.
Right. True.
But it's unlikely to happen anytime soon here because of the way our system is set up and who pays for it.
Well, I hope that changes. I really do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's the way the money flows is what, in many ways, determines.
Definitely. Yeah.
So it's, you know, what's the protocol and what do you do is frequently a laundry list of procedures or medications.
Exactly. Yep.
And unless it's something.
And extensive medications too.
Right. And then medications for the side effects of the medications for the.
Exactly.
Yeah,
they're not wanting to use these newer doctors. They're being taught in medical school that the older drugs that you and I have taken all of our lives that work really well and they're not really expensive aren't any good. And they don't work on the things that we used them for. And I'm like, I've used that all my life for that. What do you mean it doesn't work for that? You know? But they want them to use the expensive medicine.
Right.
So that's what they're teaching them.
They want to use the stuff that's still patented.
Yep, and that's what they're teaching them in school.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
But as the saying goes, do you know the song Alice's Restaurant?
Yes.
Okay. But that wasn't what we came here to talk about. This is a show about chakras.
We always get off at left field.
You just published a new ebook.
Well, it's actually, I published it back in like 2007 or something.
Oh, really? So this is just a new announcement.
Right,
of the chakra.
I just announced it. Yeah.
Gotcha. I hadn't seen it before, and I haven't read all the way through it, but I read the chapters are on each chakra, and I love the way it's laid out and the way you explain things. So why don't you tell people first a little bit about what the chakras are, or as some people will pronounce it, chakras. And then we can talk a little bit about the book and how you put all that together.
Well, the chakras are just energy centers in our body that bring energy in for our body to be able to use. And this book focuses on the seven major chakras that we have been using for eons of time. You know, some people use 12 chakras, some people use 32. You know, everybody has something different. We have chakras all over our body. We have minor chakras, we have major chakras, but I only work with these seven in this ebook. You know, I've had people come to me and, you know, well, why didn't you do this one? Well, you know, I'm only doing the seven major chakras.
Right.
It lets energy come into and out of our body is what it does. And they regulate different parts of our body, like the root chakra regulates the elimination system, your legs, your feet, that part of the body, your heart, of course, is the heart area. You know, so each one regulates a different part of the body.
Right. So why don't you describe for folks that have never heard this before, and there probably are people listening that know nothing about chakras, where they are and how they relate to the physical body so they can kind of visualize what you're talking about.
Okay. The root chakra is at the base of your spine, and it's pointed down is the way I've always seen it. It's pointed down. And it is, the color of it is red, and it, like I said, it's for the elimination system, the male genitalia, the legs, the feet, the grounding, and that type of thing. Then, just up from that, just below the navel, is what's called the sacral chakra. Some people call it the, they have another name for it. I can't think of it right now, but I've always called it the sacral. And, that would be the female organs on women, the digestive area, your intestines and stuff. The low back would be considered part of the sacral. There's some other parts of the body that I have to look. My mind went blank.
Looking in your own book.
Yeah, I'm looking in my own book. Okay, it has to do with taste and appetite. Yeah, the gonads. That was the other part I was trying to think of.
Right.
And then you have the solar, and the color of that one is orange. Should be a bright orange. And then at the solar plexus, this is right where your stomach would be, right below the breastbone. Is the solar plexus, and that is where we feel fear, we feel anxiety, stress, all of that, all of those emotions are in that, and everything that's in that area, the liver, the gallbladder, the stomach, the upper intestines, all of that area, the mid-back, all of that is handled by the solar plexus. And then we have, and the color of that one is a bright yellow. And then the heart chakra, of course, where the heart is, and that's your heart and your lungs and your upper back in that area. And then we have the throat chakra, which is in the middle of the throat, and that's a beautiful blue color. And it of course, regulates the thyroid and the throat area. That has to do with being able to speak up for yourself, to be able to say what it is you want, to be able to create things in your life, because to create something, we have to be able to say what it is we want to create. So that's in that throat chakra. And then the third eye chakra is in the middle of the forehead, where the third eye would be. The color of that one is different. People see it different ways. Some people say an indigo, which is usually what I'd go with. Some people say purple. It just depends on who you're talking to. And that, of course, has to do with psychic ability, being able to see the pineal gland, the pituitary, the brain. You know, right now people are, today I had it, the third eye headache. That's right in the center of your forehead, you know, and just goes all the way through your head. And then we have the crown chakra, which is on top of the head, and it goes up. And, of course, again, that would be headaches, the brain, that type of thing. And I usually see that chakra as white, clear, crystalline color. Some people see it as purple. So, like, again, it just depends on who you're talking to.
And for people that don't think that way necessarily, we're talking about what it looks like psychically to someone who's clairvoyant, who has extended sight. And to different people will look different, but also the color of the chakra in different people will be slightly different because of what's going on for them.
And, you know, sometimes you may have red in your heart chakra because of a issue that's going on between the root chakra and the heart chakra. So instead of the colors being pure, they've got that mixture of other chakras in with them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But the main thing I focus on in this book is just, if you see something, you know, when you try to look at your, and when you want to look at your chakras, you just imagine, okay, what does my root chakra look like? And just imagine what you see. And if it looks kind of muddy, then just imagine cleaning it out somehow. You know, it doesn't matter how you do it. Just do it, you know, right, until you feel like it's clean, and then make it a beautiful, bright red color. And you can do that with each one of the chakras. Just whatever you find there, just clear it out and then, you know, make it healthy again.
Right. Right. Now, you also did do an interesting thing with the description of the chakras where you talk about the... I'm forgetting the name.
Archetypes. The archetypes.
The archetypes, because yeah. I don't have the book on this computer. hate when that happens. So, you know, and not only just that there's an archetype of each one, but the positive and negative aspects of the archetypes, which in effect are the underlying.
Not necessarily positive and negative, but functional and dysfunctional is the better
okay.
word.
Uh-huh.
Because it's really not negative and positive. And by knowing what the different archetypes are, and then paying attention to what's going on in your life, it tells you which of your chakras is out of balance. And that's really, really interesting to me. You know, I work with my clients a lot on working on these archetypes and healing them. And it really does make a difference. Now, for the root chakra, you know, everybody wants to work on their third eye chakra. They want to be able to see. They want to be psychic, you know, all of this stuff. That throws a person out of balance.
Right.
The most important chakra for us to work on is our root chakra. If we get that root chakra really healthy and really strong, the rest of the chakras are going to pretty much take care of themselves. But we really, really need to focus on that root chakra. And nobody wants to do that. And that's why we have so many people that are airy-fairy and don't know what they're doing and, you know, things like that these days. So it's really, really important to work on that root chakra.
Right, and that's part of the way they're taught to do psychic work. It's all about
exactly. Doing
the things that are exciting and not
right. About
the basic safety of being grounded and being grounded.
You're also going to be more psychic if you're grounded.
Right, right.
And if you just use your third eye, because there's no foundation there for the psychic ability. And you get all kinds of, you know, answers that are bullshit. I mean, that's one reason we have so much stuff in the New Age community right now that's available, because all
right. These
people are ungrounded and they're coming up with this stuff and saying, oh, well, this is true, when it really isn't. So it's really, really important to be grounded, because you're going to be more psychic in the long run if you're very
right. Grounded.
And it's
also a safety issue.
Exactly.
Almost everything that can go wrong goes wrong because you're not well grounded.
Exactly, yes.
Which is why all of the martial arts start with how to make your body physically grounded, all psychic healing, and you know, as they would say in Harry Potter, dark arts defense stuff is all about being grounded, because you can't do anything else if you're not grounded.
We're coming up to the break,
and I want to make sure people know where to find you. What is your website?
AskClaudia.com. AskClaudia.com.
So clever.
And
you're also all over Facebook. People can find you as Claudia McNeely on
Facebook.
All over
Facebook, yes.
I got several groups and all kinds of nifty stuff. I also want to tell people that if you have questions or comments for us, you can actually ask them during the show using Twitter by tweeting to @FarkasFiles. Isn't that clever? And using the hashtag FarkasFiles. And if you use the hashtag FarkasFiles, it will show up on my screen. And I will be able to talk about whatever it is you want us to talk about. So please, if you're listening and you have a question or comment, take advantage of that. We're going to go to the break in just a minute, and when we come back, we'll pick up again where we were about the archetypes, because I think that's just a fascinating way to do chakra work and look at what's going on with all of that. So we will be back with my wonderful friend Claudia McNeely And don't go nowhere. We're going to have some more fun. Stay with us.
This week's episode, Trouble on Rock Hill.
Ain't nothing like running up and down Rock Hill.
Hey, let's move this rock.
Whoa! Sassy, Johnny's stuck under that rock. Yeah, girl, go tell Mr. Gunderson to bring his truck. You'll tell him, but only after you dispel a stereotype associated with shelter pets? People think shelter pets come with lots of initial veterinary costs?
It's dusty under here.
But in reality, most shelter pets have been vaccinated, neutered, and microchipped in case they get lost?
My pants ripped!
Sassy! Johnny needs help! What Johnny really needs is more discipline and better parental supervision? You use big words, Sassy!
Still under the rock!
Sassy is brought to you by the Ad Council and theshelterpetproject.org. Remember, adopt!
Ranger Station, Ranger speaking.
Yeah, hi. I'd like to report a bear sighting.
Location?
In the woods, just outside of town.
Oh, not surprising. You've got your home. Bears have theirs.
Yeah, but see, this wasn't just any bear. This bear was wearing jeans and a hat, as in a Smokey Bear.
Jeans and a hat. That's definitely Smokey. What exactly did he have to say?
Well, we were about to head home, you know, after having a bonfire.
Oh, I can guess where this is going.
Right, right. See, Smokey told me the fire wasn't actually out. He said if it's too hot to touch, it's too hot to leave.
That's true. Did you know that 9 out of 10 wildfires are caused by humans? That means 9 out of 10 wildfires can be prevented.
Wow, no kidding?
I'm a forest ranger. We never kid.
Sorry.
that was a joke.
Oh.
Get your Smokey on. If you see someone in danger of starting a wildfire, step in and make a difference, because 9 out of 10 wildfires are caused by humans. Brought to you by Smokey Bear, the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council. Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Only you can prevent wildfires.
Confessions of a Potentially Perfect Parent, brought to you by AdoptUsKids.org.
I might look like an adult, like a person who could possibly be a parent, but I have no idea how to talk like one. And everyone knows that if you want to be a parent, you have to sound good when you say things like, "Don't make me turn this car around," or "Because I said so," or "Don't make me come back there." I don't even really know what those things mean, but I know that I actually believed my parents when they said them to me. How did they manage to sound so convincing? Here we go. "Don't make me come back there." Ugh, no, that's not tough enough at all. Kids can sense weakness. "Don't make me come back there." Ooh, yeah, that's better. In fact, that kind of sounded like my dad. Weird.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. There are thousands of teens in foster care who would love to listen to you practice your dad voice. Call 1-888-200-4005 or visit AdoptUsKids.org for more information. This message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt Us Kids, and the Ad Council.
Now back to the Farkas Files with David Franklin Farkas on Empower Radio.
And we're back with my wonderful guest, Claudia McNeely. Who, why don't you rattle off all the things you do, Claudia, so people have an idea of the range of skills you have.
Yeah, I do a lot of different things. I'm a clairvoyant psychic, medical intuitive, shamanic healer, angel reader, work with angels a lot. Let's see, hypnotherapist, access consciousness. There's a whole lot of, there's not much I don't do. I do pretty much everything.
Yeah, which makes all our conversations very, very, very interesting.
It makes my life very interesting too.
And you know, for people that are just being introduced to the idea of the chakras, first of all, most people don't know the physical anatomy of the human body all that well. You know,
right.
They have a vague idea that some stuff is in the middle of the chest and some stuff's in the belly, but really don't have much of an idea about anatomy.
Right.
So it's not unusual for them not to understand the non-physical anatomy, but it's basically an I would say it's an extension of the physical body, but it's in a way what the physical body is made out of, because the energy is the right. stuff that exists even when you're not physical. So right. The example I like to use is the solar plexus, which is a huge bundle of nerves. It's the second largest, the only mm-hmm. larger bundle of nerves is the brain. And so when you talk about gut feelings, it's the solar plexus.
Exactly.
And the solar plexus is then connected to glands and nerves and all kinds of other stuff, and connected to the spinal cord, so it communicates with everything else. And so the solar plexus chakra is the energetic invisible part of the solar plexus.
Right.
That connects out into the energy. So maybe that's helpful for people, and maybe that just confused them, but but
they can,
I think,
always
it,
get my book. It's free on my website, so they can always get the book and mm-hmm. read it and learn more,
which is really such a wonderful gift that you just make it available online for free so that people can learn more about all of this.
My goal is to help people to learn to heal themselves. That's what I really, that's my goal. Let me do the hard stuff and let them take care of the easy things.
Right, which is great. So mm-hmm. let's get back to talking about the archetypes.
Well, before we go into the archetypes, I'd like to do a grounding thing real quick.
Okay.
Is that okay? Because like
yeah.
you said, you know, we said grounding is the most important thing. And one thing that I've noticed, you know, usually we've been taught, those of us who've been doing this a while, to do tree roots going down into the ground. And for quite a while now, whenever I've tried to do tree roots, and I've had other people tell me the same thing, it does not feel good, and you don't feel grounded. And it's because there's so many toxins at the top of the earth now. You know, emotional stuff, there's all the radiation from the bombs, there's, you know, all this stuff is on the surface of the ground. So when we try to put those roots down, we're absorbing all that toxin stuff. So the thing that I came up with was to, you know, an extension cord has like a plastic casing around it, so nothing right. can get into it. So what I do is I imagine this extension cord that's like 12, 16 inches across, and imagine that coming out of the root chakra, which is at the base of the spine. So just imagine it coming out of the bottom of your torso and going all the way down into the center of the earth. And at the center of the earth, you're going to find a plug. And just plug that extension cord into that plug. And then feel that loving energy from the Mother Earth coming up through that extension cord into your root chakra that's at the base of the spine, the sacral, which is just below the navel, the solar plexus, which is at the stomach, the heart, the throat, the third eye at the middle of the forehead, the crown, and all the way up to the Creator, God, Spirit, whatever you want to call it. And then imagine energy coming from the Creator, God, Great Spirit, whatever, and coming down through your crown chakra, your third eye, your throat, your heart, your solar plexus, your sacral, your root, out the bottom of your feet, and all the way down to the center of the earth. And just feel how great that feels to do that. It feels yep. really, really good. If you don't get all the toxins, and it's a really, really good way just to get that grounding in there. So it's very important to do that several times a day if you need to, but at least once a day. So do that before you do any kind of psychic work. And then, okay, so on to the archetypes. The archetype of the root chakra is the dysfunctional archetype is the victim. Oh, poor me. I've had such a hard life. My dad beat me. My ex-wife treated me bad. You know, I can't find a job. Those are all dysfunctional victim mentality things from the root chakra. The root chakra is where we take care of ourselves. That is the very foundation. That's the very first chakra that we develop when we're born, after we're born, is that root chakra. Having our needs met, being nurtured, being fed, being having a place to live, being able to support ourselves financially, all of that is in that root chakra. So the functional archetype of that chakra is the mother. Being able to mother ourselves, to take care of ourselves, to provide for ourselves. So when you're in the victim mode, you know you're in the dysfunctional part of that chakra. And when you're taking care of what needs to be taken care of and supporting yourself and have a good job and all that, then you're in the mother archetype. So any questions about that?
Nope, makes perfect sense.
Okay.
And we don't have any questions from the peanut gallery yet either.
Okay. In the sacral chakra, the dysfunctional archetype is martyr. How many of us haven't been there? We give and we give and we give and we give and we don't get anything in return. And, oh, you know, people don't love me. They're not taking care of me. You know, it's not really, it's a step up from the victim. But it's like, you know, I do and I do and I do and I get nothing in return. That's the martyr. Or, oh, you take care of you. I'm not important. That's the martyr. And we've all done that. We've all been martyrs. And then the positive aspect of that for the male is the emperor, and for the female is the empress. And again, that's being able to stand in your power to make the decisions that you need to make, to know that take care of yourself as well as taking care of other people, not just doing for others and doing for you and other people, and having a balance in there. That's the function of the sacral chakra. The sacral chakra is also where that's the sexual energy, the sexual chakras that has to do with the sexual energy and relationships. In the solar plexus chakra, the negative aspect is the servant. That's your worker that will do anything to please the boss. Will work and work and work 16, 20 hours a day and, you know, never complain, anything to make other people happy. That's the servant. And then the positive aspect of the dysfunctional aspect is the warrior, the person that can go out and take care of what needs to be done and, you know, fight whatever fights need to be done and just get everything done. And then the heart chakra, the dysfunctional archetype is the actor, actress. We pretend that we know what love is about. We pretend that we love people, but we actually have an ulterior motive behind it. That makes sense?
Conditional and manipulative
conditional,
love.
Conditional, yeah. Exactly. That's the dysfunctional archetype of that chakra. And then the functional archetype is the lover, the person who is just unconditional loving, loves everybody and everything, and does not have a lot of expectations. That's the functional archetype. And then as we move into the throat, the dysfunctional archetype of that is the silent child. Those of us who were abused as children and are afraid now to speak up. Words are caught in our throat. Usually this silent child is very quiet, very shy, won't say what they need. Where do you want to go? Oh, I don't care. What do you want me? Mm-hmm. I don't care. You know? That's that silent child. They can't ever speak up for themselves. And usually those have been abused. There's, you know, that or abuse will cause the silent child, put it that way, because it's not always from abuse. But it's being afraid to speak up. And then the positive aspect of that is the communicator, being able to say, this is what I want, to be able to do what we're doing right now, be on a radio show and talking to people and to have a clear voice and be able to speak. That's the positive aspect of that chakra. And then the third eye chakra, the dysfunctional archetype is the intellectual. The one who thinks about everything, you ask them, how do you feel? Oh, well, I think I'm okay.
Right.
You know, I mean, I know you've seen people that do that. They can't ever get into their feelings. They always want to think. That's that person that's connected to their brain but not to their heart. And they think they know things, but it's not, it's, you know, they know a lot of book learning, they know, but they don't really know. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah.
There's no wisdom there, I guess would be how to say that.
Well, it's not experiential knowledge. It's not
exactly.
Things that they came exactly. through their own experience and their own trials, it's stuff that they learned along the way and maybe confirmed, but there wasn't the struggle and the personal experience.
Exactly. And then the functional archetype of that chakra is the intuitive. the, you know, the psychic who can get information psychically. And it isn't always seeing, and that's what people need to understand. Very few people can actually see psychically. Most people feel things.
Way overrated and often a real pain in the neck.
Most people feel things. They're the empaths. They're the ones that feel that feeling in the gut of their, you know, in their gut. They get the prickly sensations. That is the most popular, the most common gift, psychic gift, is feeling. But vision is usually, you know, that's one of the last gifts. Very few people have vision, but everybody wants it. But just being intuitive, being able to know that something's coming, or that, you know, you need to pay attention to something, or hearing your angels talk to you, or, you know, getting the messages from spirit that you need to get. That's all that positive intuitive that's there. And then in the crown chakra, the dysfunctional is the egotist. The guru, I mean, we've all known him. The guru, who is so full of themselves, you know, they're not coming from their heart. They're coming from their ego. And that is the dysfunctional archetype of that chakra. There's no real wisdom there. There's no real caring about their students. Everything is ego. And then the functional archetype of that chakra is the guru. The one who does really truly have the wisdom and is willing to share and teach and help other people to develop and get to where they need to be too. So those are the archetypes for the chakras.
And it's such an interesting way to look at not just, well, there's a whole branch of psychology, which, you know, mainstream psychologists would not even think about. It's called chakra psychology. And it's about looking at emotions and stuckness and difficulties in your life and all the rest of it through the lens of what's going on with the chakras, and also through the lens of how the chakras of one person connect to the chakras of somebody else, because it's a form of communication. And if you happen to have cross-linking of the chakras, and instead of having a heart-to-heart connection, having a, you know, heart-to-third eye or heart-to-second chakra connection, one person thinks it's all love and the other person is either, you know, intellectualizing or only thinking about sex, whatever it is, and everybody in the situation goes, I don't understand what's going on here.
And, you know, I get clients. I had a lady that I was working with the other day, and she was wanting to have love in her life. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you would think that that would be heart chakra, but we had to go work on her root chakra because she was in the, oh, poor me, nobody loves me thing, you know? I can't ever find a guy that likes me. I can't ever find anybody that treats me right. She was just pure victim mentality, you know? So we had to go all the way to the root chakra and do healing on that victim and get it feeling more powerful, more like the mother that can nurture.
Right. And it's also the self-fulfilling prophecy, because they go around all day saying, oh, woe is me. My life is terrible. Nobody's going to love me. Everybody hates me. Nobody loves me. I'm going to go out and eat worms. And, and then it's true. And they go, see, I'm right.
Right. Exactly. Whatever you put out is what's going to be your truth. And the universe is always going to prove that what you think is right. Always. So if you think, my daughter was disabled, so I had people taking care of her from the time she was a baby. And I had this one lady that took care of her, and she was a big, big woman, probably 6 feet tall, weighed probably 300 pounds. Thought she was the sexiest thing on 2 feet. She literally had that idea about herself. She wore crop tops and hot pants, and she had guys falling at her feet. But it's all attitude.
Right.
She thought she was hot, so everybody else did too. The universe proved her right.
Yep.
If you think that you're fat and ugly, other people are going to, you know, God, the universe is going to prove that you're right. So you've got to be careful what you put out there, because that's what you're going to get back.
The other thing, which is one of my favorite aspects of the way things manifest, not because it's any fun, well, it is fun in retrospect, is that it appears that the universe is a punster. have you seen the new commercial for the RAV4 that has the RAV4 genie? The guy.
Oh yeah, that is so cute. Yeah.
The guy rubs his car and this purple genie pops up, and they keep having these miscommunications. And at one point there are witches flying around in a circle around the car, and he said, wishes. I said, wishes. She said, no, I heard witches. I'm sure I heard witches.
I love that commercial. I think it's hilarious.
Right. And, it, you know, partly because it's so close to the truth. It is the truth. And people don't get that you get what you ask for. And if there's multiple meanings to what you ask for, almost always you'll get the funniest, furthest from what you were actually talking about.
Right.
So I came back from 3 years of apprenticing with two shamans, and what I kept saying was, all I want to do is energy work. I just love doing energy work. And that led to a 10-year career in the energy conservation industry. oh, God, no, come on. Yeah, I needed a job, but no, that's such a bad pun.
I've learned that my angels definitely have a wonderful sense of humor.
Right. And
yeah.
we'll take every opportunity to both make fun of you and give you an opportunity.
Trip up.
Well, not so much trip up, but get you to clarify what it is that you're talking about.
Right.
So if you're using...
It is very important to be clear. That's that throat chakra. You know, that's that silent child, not knowing how to say what it is you want. That's one of the things you have to learn with that chakra, is to say exactly what you mean, because that's what you're going to get, is exactly what you say.
Right, and it's an element of the process of dowsing, which kind of is being psychic for people that aren't psychic. It's basically learning to ask questions in such a way that you can get a yes or no answer.
Right.
And you get a yes or no answer to the question that you asked, but if you have not gotten real clear on what you wanted to ask, you get a yes or no to something that isn't really related to what you wanted to know.
Right.
And then you continue your questions based on the yes or no answer that you got, and things go really badly wrong. And it's like, well, I don't understand where the accuracy is.
Right.
Well, the accuracy was that you didn't ask the right question. You weren't clear in defining the question.
I catch my son a lot asking, should I do something?
Mm-hmm.
There is no should. You should never, never say something that way.
Right.
Because there is no should, and you're not going to get a clear answer at all.
Right. And people don't understand also that this is what psychics do all day, is ask questions and see what the answers are.
Exactly.
However you get your answers. So in the should thing, what I typically ask is, will this give me whatever the outcome is that I want? Will this cause whatever the problematic reaction would be? You know, will this cause some kind of trouble? And you always ask it both ways.
Right.
So that you ask for the positive response.
Or is this beneficial? Beneficial for me to do this? Is this in my highest good? Things like that. Yeah.
Right. Right. Or is there a negative consequence I'm not aware of? So that you kind of build in a disclaimer to your questioning thing that basically says, if I'm being really stupid here, would you tell me? You know, if I'm not making any sense, give me a no somewhere in here so I can start asking other questions.
Right.
And there is so little clarity to what most people say during the course of a day, much less what they ask for. They get all kinds of things that they ask for. They just don't understand that they asked for that.
Exactly. And I've had to stop doing email readings because people would ask me a question and I would answer what they asked. But that's not what they really wanted to know.
Right.
And so therefore, I was a really bad psychic, and I had to quit doing the email readings because of that.
Right. And, you know, at least if you have them on the phone or Skype,
you can get clarity. Yeah.
Right. You can ask more questions so that you get to what the real question is, so you can look at what they really want to know.
Exactly.
That's part of the, you know, I don't particularly enjoy doing readings, but it's part of the reason that I don't do readings.
Right.
And also because the only thing you can ever give anybody is the probable outcome based on the way things are going right now.
Right now. And 2 seconds from now, a decision can be made that will change absolutely everything that was said. Yeah.
Or an emotion.
That's, I've gotten to where I'm turning my readings into a healing session because, you know, if you want a relationship with Joe Blow, what's stopping you from having what you want with that person? What are your issues that are getting in the way of this happening? So let's heal those issues so that you can have a relationship with Joe Blow or even attract somebody else.
Right.
You know, so I've gotten where I would rather do both healing and reading in one session.
Right. And part of it is what's so special about Joe Blow that you're focusing on him instead of saying what kind of a relationship you want and letting it come to you.
Exactly.
So it might or might not have anything to do with him.
And why stay with Joe Blow if he's treating you like shit? You know, find somebody that's better than him that's going to treat you better. Yeah.
Right. To which the answer is almost always, but I love him.
But I love him. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Right. Yeah, we could go around about the things that people say all the time same way.
Yes. Yeah.
And people don't get how predictable so much of what goes on in either readings or psychotherapy or any of the rest of it. The patterns are very, very typical. And the causes also are usually the same kinds of issues.
Right.
Well, once again, the hour has gone by in a flash.
Wow.
And
sure
we're running out of time. So once again, tell people where they can find you.
AskClaudia.com. AskClaudia.com. And under free information, they will be able to get this book on chakras. And there's also a free ebook on self-healing that has some wonderful self-healing techniques in it. And a lot of other free stuff. There's a lot of information on that website. It's a very, very big website. I've been working on it for 15 years, I think. Lots of information there.
Right. Right. And I, from personal experience and knowing Claudia for quite a while now, can vouch for her depth of knowledge and how clear she is on all of this stuff. She does wonderful work.
I appreciate you. Very, very high-level work. People that have worked with me have said that it's nothing like anything they've ever experienced with any other healer. It's totally different.
Yeah, and you have a real, real breadth of what you have deep knowledge in. It's not just one area that you know. You have a very wide range of things. So you do some very special work, my friend. I very much appreciate your work.
I love doing it.
I know. I know. So I encourage people to go to Ask Claudia or to find Claudia McNeely on Facebook. And she's got both her personal page and a couple of groups, including your Ascension.
I have a group, Earth Sensitive Mastering Ascension.
Yep.
That's where we talk about the solar flares and symptoms and all the stuff that we're going through and how to make it, how to survive it, you know, basically.
Right.
So that's a good group to join on Facebook. Lots of good information comes through that one.
Yep. Well, my friend, we got to do this again.
I love having talks with you.
Yeah, we always have a good time and we always go to interesting places, and we'll just figure out another topic and do this again soon.
Sure, I'd love to.
Thanks so much for being on the show, Claudia.
Thank you.
So thanks, everybody, for being with us tonight. If you're curious about my work, doing remote healing of land, buildings, people, businesses, situations, all kinds of stuff. You can find that information at househealing.com. And on the contact tab, you'll find every conceivable way to get in touch with me, including my online scheduling calendar. I do a 20-minute reading and assessment to see what's going on and see how my work might be helpful to you. So take advantage of that. Look forward to hearing from you. And until next week, when we will have some more fun, this is David Franklin Farkas for the Farkas Files. The truth is in here somewhere on Empower Radio. Thank you, one and all, for being here.